And welcome to another episode of Gopher Gridiron Radio. I'm Luke Buer.
And I am GopherIllustrated.com publisher Ryan Burns. And we welcome you guys back to this preview edition as we're going to be looking at these Gophers taking on the Purdue Boilermakers 2:35 kickoff on ESPN2 this Saturday afternoon. But before we start to get into any defensive coordinator talk, get into any of this Purdue preview, do you want to give the folks a word from our sponsor?
Yeah. So, again, the Goal Line Club is sponsoring this 2018 season, and they're sponsoring our podcast. We want to thank them, as always. It's great to hear the great turnout that they're getting in terms of people signing up. It's a great organization to be a part of, especially if you want to support Golden Gopher football. The Goal Line Club is an excellent way to do that. Only $100 to join, which is really, really a low buy-in. And there's some great opportunities to connect with other Gopher fans. So if you're interested in doing that, I'd highly suggest you go to goalineclub.org.
Can I get something off my chest here, deer hunting related wise?
Yeah, you've already said this like twice to me, I think, today. So
So I sat in a tree this morning. I got some free time before I had to be out at the U doing interviews with Kirk Soraka and new defensive coordinator Joe Rossi. For those of you who'd like to watch deer hunting shows on TV or YouTube or whatever streaming platform, please, 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 please do not rattle and grunt and bleat. I mean, if you're going to do that, that's fine, but don't do it 10 different times in one morning when, first of all, you're already on the property border, and number two, you're doing it blind, and then I can see deer that are coming towards me. And then you just blindly call, or maybe you're trying to sabotage the hunt, either way. And these deer see it, and they're like, what in the world is happening over there? Yeah, maybe we shouldn't do 10 different blind, rattling, bleeding. And it just, folks, just be patient, be quiet in the tree, and let things happen for all that is freaking holy. So, on that note, Luke.
little heavy on the call this morning, huh?
Oh my God. Oh. I was just sitting there thinking to myself, what in the world? He's thinking like he's some dude on TV where it's all these unpressured deer. And yeah, if I bang the horns together, they're going to come right to the tree. Well, it didn't work the first time, the second time, or the eighth time, but damn it, he kept doing it, and he's just a jamoke. So,
and here we are today. Ryan Burns is still deerless in this the great hunt of 2018.
Speaking of the great hunt of 2018, I've only been out 3 days, or I've had three hunts. This is my first morning hunt. Was this morning just between, you know, trying to be a bow hunter and a deer hunter in the middle of football season with all the different responsibilities. It's extremely difficult. So I found some time this morning. I'll be able to get out tomorrow morning again. So I wouldn't say I'm deerless by choice right now. I could have taken a doe or two, but I'm trying to hold out for that mature buck. So,
yeah.
But anyway, speaking of jabronis, man, it's not fair to say that. Well, Rob Smith is gone. And the funniest part about that, Luke, is folks will remember the episode that we released on Sunday. We literally got done recording that episode, and I looked at my phone, and I have a text message saying, hey, just a heads up, Rob Smith was fired. And I was like, and I told Luke and Derek, and they couldn't believe it. And I was just like, I can't believe we just spent 70, 80 minutes just going after this guy, and then it's all essentially for naught because we're clamoring for change, and then we get it now. So Rob Smith has been relieved of his duties as defensive coordinator, as linebacker coach, and now here we are with Joe Rossi, the former defensive line coach, taking over. He is now the defensive coordinator. He's also the linebacker coach. So, folks, you did it. I heard your gripes on social media. Anytime you give up 430 rushing yards to a Illinois team that isn't the greatest, and I won't say dumpster fire for some of the specific listeners who get very offended by that for some reason, but Illinois only beat Rutgers since the month of September, yet they put up a 55 ball on this Gopher defense, and anytime that happens, you are likely going to have your job security be taken away from you, Luke. So, Mr. Joe Rossi, welcome to your defensive coordinator audition here for the final three games.
Yeah, that was probably the worst podcast in terms of its aged
timing.
Yeah. Timing and ageability. I remember when you said that, and I was like, well, that podcast just didn't age well at all.
I immediately told Luke, I don't even know if we should release this podcast. And we didn't have time to record another one there very quickly afterwards. So I was right. We'll get into it. We'll get into it today.
So, yes. So actually, let's quickly get into that. We had a number of questions that came in, and I think the main thing that we probably should address before we get into kind of the normal format of a preview episode is: do we expect you know, schematically, maybe from play call perspective, things to change much? I can imagine your answer is going to be not this week, maybe not next week. We'll see, given the short time period. But what do you expect, given the little access you've had to Joe Rossi so far?
Yeah, if you haven't already, I encourage you to head on over to Gopher Illustrated or just go to my Twitter. You'll be able to watch it. It's only like a 3-4 minute video, folks. So if you want to see what Joe Rossi has to say about a multitude of different questions about the defense, the different things he's going to try to implement. It's been a long day. I've been up since 4:30. Implement. It's not going to be drastic, and I know that's going to give some people that are listening to this a frown, but think about it. Folks, there's 3 weeks left of the season. You can't immediately go from a 4-3 defense to like a 3-4. You can't teach a 3-4 defense in 2 days before Rondale Moore and David Blau come to town, and then they just put up 49 ball on a Greg Schiano defense that this defense is schematically involved around. So the question is going to be for Saturday is, how many different changes do we see? And now, the most reassuring thing that Joe Rossi said was, we know what we have for issues, and we have to get guys playing faster. We have to be able to cut down on the space that we're giving some of these offensive players. So what does that mean to me? That means, hey, maybe we're not going to see off coverage 50%+ of the time that is just eviscerating this Gopher team. Hey, maybe this Gopher linebacking core is going to play a little bit closer to the line of scrimmage, that they're going to be able to play a little bit more free. They know what their gap responsibilities are, just simple things like that. And that was the biggest thing for Joe Rossi, is that's what he told the players on Sunday night was, I'm not trying to, again, this is not verbatim, but along the lines of, I'm not trying to reinvent the wheel here. I just want to make sure we have can use these final three games to make progress and use it as a springboard towards 2019. Now, I told this to Luke in the pre-production meeting as well. Joe Rossi is going to get a fair shot at this defensive coordinator job, but ultimately I do expect that Minnesota and PJ Fleck, more importantly, makes a hire outside of the current coaching staff for that defensive coordinator spot. And I don't anticipate that defensive coordinator to be named until mid-January, somewhere along that lines. And I say that because it's tough for PJ. You look at the time frame that he has coming up here in the next 8 weeks, something that Luke and I have had a lot of discussions with the Goal Line Club, and we'll potentially be getting into those different discussions here in the coming weeks. But he's got 3 games left. He goes into that Wisconsin game on the 24th, and then come the 26th, folks, PJ Fleck's going to be on the road essentially 6 days a week. He gets to be home for 1 day, potentially for an official visit weekend, and he's got to be able to keep this recruiting class. He's got to be able to keep it strong and be able to bolster it as he gets closer to signing day. So you look at that. Here we are sitting on November the 7th. You can see there's not a lot of time to interview potential candidates, plus all the interview or all the candidates likely going to be playing in bowl games. There's a reason that they're being successful. There's a reason that they're being courted. And then that coaching convention, I believe, is in the first or second week of January. And that's where you look at the hires that PJ Fleck made last year with Jamal Adai, Clay Patterson. That's where PJ was able to interview them. So there's a lot of things that have to go on between now and 2 months from now that PJ has to make sure are taken care of. He's got to finish the season. He's got to be able to finish this recruiting class. But I do ultimately think that it is going to be an outside hire from the sources that I've talked to. So we'll have to see what Joe Rossi provides. But I know that there's been a lot of Gopher Illustrated members and people on Twitter asking me, well, who are the names? You know, where's Jay Saville, Mike Sherrills? I mean, folks, I'm gonna keep it real with everybody here. I'm not expecting to see Jay Saville or Mike Sherrills in a Gopher coaching staff role here in the foreseeable future. Now, have crazier things happen? Yes. Would Jay Saville and Mike Sherrills be potentially interested in coming back to this team? I think so, from the close sources I have to both of those situations as well. But ultimately, it's going to come down to, and Luke and I talked about this in the pre-production meeting, that I went on record, or I'm going to go on record, and saying this defensive coordinator hire, Luke, no, do you agree or disagree, is going to be the most important coaching personnel hire of PJ Fleck's young career.
No, I totally agree. I think we've had this, we've kind of had this conversation. I think PJ's run as the head coach of the University of Minnesota is going to hinge on his ability to right this defense, and whether that's hire the right guy to basically man the ship. And wow, that was very punny. Sorry about that. In terms of the Gopher, that was not intentional. But they're going to have someone to be in charge of the defense. And if they don't figure that out, I don't think PJ will be here terribly long, just because of how important it is to be able to stop opponents in the game of football.
I think more importantly is PJ is going to be going into year three. You have an offense that is on the upswing. You have an offense that, when you look forward to the future here, is, I think, it's as bright as it's ever been. We've talked about that numerous different reasons on this podcast. You can go back and listen to previous episodes, but you're losing only two starters for 2019 and plausibly only one starter for 2020. And you're going to have this young core of players that is playing right now, gaining experience. It's going to be, in theory, having 18-plus Big Ten games under its belt going into that 2020 season. And that's where PJ Fleck, if he can just get the defense figured out to a degree where it's average to above average instead of horribly mediocre right now, that's
horrible mediocre. It's poor. Like, at best, it's poor.
It's atrocious. You can use whatever type of verbiage you would like. I'm trying to be a little bit kind here.
I mean, okay, let's be completely honest right now. We came into the season at the very beginning and we said, we think this team could be good. They have to survive injuries. They haven't, right? And we have to have improvement on the defense. That was just a fact, right? And then we saw the non-conference. They come out 3-0. They had a really good win against Fresno, and we were like slightly optimistic, but we also said, but you got to prove it to me on defense, right? And they have done none of the sort. And I think that we have a decent sample size now that we needed to get almost an equal sample size, or at least a full season under our belt, before we can start to think, yeah, maybe 2020 we could be pretty good.
And you look at this, you know, this coordinator hire, and I think, you know, as I allude to, this offense is on the upswing, and especially as you look forward towards the future, it should be getting better and better and better as more experience comes in. These talented young kids get older. PJ Fleck and this offensive staff continue to do a great job of evaluating good players on the offensive side of the ball. And that's where I think that this coordinator hire is going to be very attractive, or at least it should be, because the offense is going to carry you, or it has the potential to do this more so than what the new potential defensive coordinator is used to. He also has these brand new facilities, and maybe more importantly to the coordinator hire, he has PJ Fleck as a recruiter, meaning that you don't have to do everything along with coach the defense. You don't have to spend a whole lot of time on the road, even though you obviously have to spend some. But it's not like they're asking the world of you. PJ Fleck is a modern-day head football coach where he lets the offensive coordinator run his offense, the defensive coordinator run his defense, and that's to where this defensive coordinator can say, I don't have to do a ton of recruiting. I can really focus on this defense, finding out who the players are that I really want, the type of players we really need to get. And I can tell PJ that, and he can go out and do the best that he can to find those type of players. So you have an offense on the upswing. You have a brand new athletic complex, and you have the ultimate ability to not have a gigantic chip or a weight placed on your shoulder, I should say, that you need to do a whole lot in recruiting. So that's where it's going to be a couple months here before I think this is ultimately sorted out. But I gave you my reasons why I think this should be an attractive coordinator hire for this defensive side of the ball. The question is going to be ultimately for Saturday in these final two games, what can Joe Rossi do to start to get a lot of these problems that are springing a leak in this Gopher boat? How can he plug them up?
So real quick, before we move on from this topic, when I think about this defensive coordinator position. I think the things I think you addressed a lot of the attractiveness or a lot of things that are going to be attractive to a candidate. One thing you didn't touch on, which I'd be curious, is salary, right? That's always a big thing. I don't know. I mean, they're never going to get Dave Aranda money, right? They're not going to pay him 1.3 or closer to, you know, 1.5 million. But, you know, what kind of money do you think that they're looking at? How competitive can they be in the Big Ten in terms of salary for a defensive coordinator?
You're probably looking at middle of the pack. Now, I'm not saying that Minnesota is going to go out and hire a defensive coordinator that's already at it. You know, say I'd hate to use this example, but here we go. Like Tracy Claes, for example. First of all, Minnesota in no way, shape, or form is going to go after Tracy Claes. Tracy Claes has no ambitions to be back at this university as well. But I don't foresee Minnesota going against another Power 5 school and grabbing a defensive coordinator for a quote-unquote, you know, transitional type, you know, from like a Syracuse to a Minnesota. I'm thinking that PJ is really going to have to go after a position coach at a Power 5 institution, or you're going to have to look at maybe a group of six, like a Fresno State defensive coordinator. Again, that Fresno State team that Minnesota beat earlier in the year, they are still on track to be 12-1. Now, they have a very important game against Boise State this upcoming weekend, but I'm not, again, entirely worried about salary. Whoever PJ likely gets is going to have a bump up in salary, and then with the other different reasons that we've had, where I've listed, I think this is going to be a very, very important hire for PJ, one that's going to dictate his Minnesota tenure potentially, and I think it will. But for all the reasons I listed, I think this is going to be a very attractive hire. So when it comes back down to that coaching convention, it's going to be very interesting to see what kind of names we start to hear.
Yeah, I think we should get a quick word in for our sponsor before we preview this game. So obviously the Goal Line Club is sponsoring us, but Ryan, I don't know if you heard, but they kind of had a problem at the last tailgate. Did you hear
they
this?
They did. Yeah, they did. So what we were told from the Goal Line Club folks is, number one, they saw an uptick. They saw a bunch of new faces at that GLC tailgate against Indiana. So we thank you guys. You guys were the ones that went out and caused this problem, but they ran out of booze for the first time ever at a GLC tailgate. Y'all drank them dry. Like, good for you to get your adult drink on. You did it responsibly. You did it in a warm environment. And then you went out and watched what was a heck of a first three quarters and then a heart stopper in the fourth. So what a great problem to have that for the first time in the Goal Line Club tailgate history, they were actually drank dry out of booze.
Yeah, and I think almost more importantly to that is just the atmosphere was apparently really, really fun. A lot of good people there, and this is just a growing event, these tailgates. I'd love to see them grow even more. They've been fun to participate from myself. So if you're interested, you got to check out the goallineclub.org to sign up. Northwestern will be the next one. I can imagine nobody's interested in getting into well, I shouldn't say that. Everybody, your personal tailgates are fun, but if you are coming to a game and you don't have a tailgate spot and you don't want to figure out the logistics and it's an early morning game, go check out the Goal Line tailgate. It's super legit, super fun. It's a good way to swoop in, whether that be on a scooter or in an Uber, however you're going to get there, check it out at goallineclub.org. All right, Ryan, let's get into this Purdue game. Purdue's probably the hottest team outside of Michigan in the Big Ten right now. They've won four of their last five games. Their only loss coming to a pretty strong Michigan State.
Yeah, five of their last six. When you look at the non-conference,
they
beat a ranked Boston College team at the time too.
Yeah, so I mean, in the same respect, like they've beat maybe some of the lower tier teams in Illinois and Nebraska, but you know they did knock off at the time number two Ohio State and recently knocked off Iowa, who was ranked 16 at the time. So let's talk a little bit about when the Gophers are on. Let's go on defense. I think most people are pretty aware that they're pretty aware. They're pretty aware that the Gophers have struggled on defense. They just fired the defensive coordinator. The Gophers are giving up 31.8 points a game. Purdue is scoring 33.4. They've put up, you know, nearly 40 points in all games except for that Michigan State game. They're putting points on the board. They're doing it in a pretty balanced attack, both offensively and defensively, averaging just about 500 yards a game, 485 to be exact. And they're a spread. They're going to be tough. And David Blau is you know, he's still somewhat turnover prone. He's got 7 interceptions on the season to go against 17 touchdowns. But he's still a pretty accurate quarterback and distributes the ball really well.
He does. And I'm going to draw a lot of correlations to a degree between Minnesota's defense and Ohio State's. I'm not saying that player personnel wise, because Ohio State doesn't have to recruit. They select. In Minnesota, for a multitude of different reasons, is struggling immensely on defense. But what I mean by that for this podcast is Greg Schiano runs the Ohio State defense, and Rob Smith's defense in this defense is modeled after a version of the Greg Schiano defensive scheme, defensive mindsets, defensive ideologies. And for those of you who don't remember 3 weeks ago, this is a Purdue team that went against the Schiano defense and put up a 49 ball on them at home and ruined Ohio State's college football playoff chances. Now we're going to be facing a defense in transition, a defense that is less talented than Ohio State's, a defense that is absolutely reeling in essentially every part of, whether it's against the pass, whether it's against the run, whether it's against the big play, the lack of turnovers. Now you get this Purdue team coming to town that in 4 of their last 5 games, they have scored 38 points or more. And the only loss that they have was that Michigan State team, and that was essentially in inclement weather. That's not going to be the case on Saturday, although it will be a little bit chilly. I believe a high of 28 degrees or so. I believe there's no precipitation scheduled during the game. So the two guys that, I guess the 3 guys that I'm absolutely terrified that I am going to be tweeting their name about big play after big play after big play is the quarterback, David Blau. Luke already mentioned him. He has been on an absolute tear here in his last 6 games, completing a lot of passes, getting a lot of big plays. He's really grasped sole control of that quarterback position for Jeff Brohm. And then the 2 playmakers that I am extremely, extremely worried about are the running back DJ Knox and then Mr. All-World freshman Rondale Moore. If you don't know who DJ Knox is, he's the running back. Now, you think of this Purdue passing attack, Jeff Brohm, Rondale Moore, Terry Wright, some different players that he's going to try to assault Minnesota with through the air with that aerial attack. Well, DJ Knox against this Ohio State defense, Luke, went for over 100 yards on 8 yards a carry and 3 rushing scores. That is not great news for a Minnesota defense that can't stop the run, can't stop the pass. And more importantly with the run, you look at what running backs have done to Minnesota in Big Ten play. I haven't updated the stats after last week because I don't want to get too negative on the bit, but I would imagine running backs are now somewhere around 9-10 yards a carry against this Gopher defense. So this is a Ohio State defense that couldn't control Jeff Brohm's offensive schemes. Now this Jeff Brohm offense is coming into TCF Bank Stadium, white hot. DJ Knox had a lot of success against Ohio State. And then with Rondale Moore, I don't know what else there is to really say about this kid. He's lightning in a bottle. He hasn't had a lot of big plays the last couple of games. So you're hoping that stays that way and he doesn't have a breakout, even a bigger breakout game against this Gopher defense. But again, against that Ohio State defense and that big upset win for Purdue, Rondale Moore touched the ball 14 times for 194 total yards on offense in 2 scores. So these guys themselves had 5 of the 7 scores against this Ohio State defense. And now they're going to be facing a Gopher defense that can't stop anyone. So I am tremendously concerned that Minnesota, who is now averaging 43 points a game, I'm tremendously concerned that the way that this Purdue offense sets up against it, the way that this Gopher defense is reeling, it's in transition. What can Joe Rossi try to do to slow down this Jeff Brohm offensive attack that has been extremely potent of late?
Yeah, and I think the challenge here is what you pointed out very astutely is that they do have a very strong running game. If you think back to arguably the Gophers' best effort against a spread team, that would be against Ohio State. They really
and Ohio State
run,
can't even
run,
yeah they can't for run the ball. First time last week they had a 100-yard rusher. of all places, freaking Ohio State doesn't have a 100-yard rusher until November. Are you kidding me?
Exactly, so exactly.
It's not boding well for this Gopher team that Purdue can produce quarterback, can move it through the air. Now, he's not exactly the athletic running type of quarterback that has seen this Gopher defense go into an absolute spiral of itself. But Rondale Moore and DJ Knox are electric playmakers in space, and
right.
they have the wide receivers and guys such as Terry Wright who can absolutely get behind the defense, and that's where they can attack you in the short, the intermediate, and in the deep game with a bunch of different weapons that Jeff Brohm has assembled.
Yeah, I think at the end of the day, you got to hope that you somehow find a way to – I mean, I'm saying this a little tongue-in-cheek. I don't expect this to happen, but, you know, if you're going to see the Gophers find a way to, you know, knock on the door and maybe get a big upset victory, they got to find a way to stop the run and, you know – boy, it's hard to say this, but limit the big plays, right? We haven't seen that.
Lol. Yeah. You mean this Gopher defense that's given up 31 touchdowns in Big Ten
right.
play for an average of 34 yards is going to stop the big play bug against a Purdue offense that
I've
built on the big play, Luke?
No, I don't see it happening either, but that's what you really got to hope for. So let's talk a little bit of when the Gophers are on offense. Again, the Gophers, as we've noted, they are improving offensively. This is the reason to be excited about this squad. They're averaging 27.8 points per game on the season. They're averaging 388 yards of total offense. They're doing pretty well. I'll say this: Purdue's defense isn't exactly amazing. And so this is the hope that you can find a way into a shootout and hopefully, you know, win the turnover battle or something, and just keep yourself in the game and give yourself a chance at the end. I'm still confident in like an Emmett Carpenter, down the stretch, but you know, Purdue has given up, 427 yards per game. They're giving up 24 points per game. They definitely struggle against the pass, nearly 300 yards a game. They do all right against the run, much better than against the pass, only 131 yards per game. And they give up points. Like they gave up 36 to Iowa, you know, they gave up 28 to Nebraska. They held Illinois in check, only gave up 7, but they have given up some points. So you hope that the Gophers can find a way to get on track. I don't see that probably happening, but that's the hope that you have.
Well, if they are going to have a shot at this game, they're going to have to keep pace, and this is going to have to be, as it's going to remain to be for the final three games of the year, this offense is going to have to put up 30-plus points and then have a hope and a prayer that this defense can only limit these opposing offenses they're going to go against to 28, 31, 34 points. I just don't see it happening in this game this weekend, but this Gopher offense, it's been putting up points. It's been putting up yards the last 3 weeks. 28 points against Nebraska, 31 against Illinois, 31 against Indiana, 31 against Iowa. I mean, this team has put up 28 or more points in 4 of the last 5 weeks, and that's with all the amount of turnovers that they've had. And this Purdue, you mentioned, this Purdue defense isn't tremendous. I think it's average, maybe a little bit below average. They've given up 20 or more points in, I believe, 4 of the last 5 games. So this isn't – we're not talking about the Michigan 2018 defense coming to town on Saturday. This Purdue defense is susceptible to big plays. They are susceptible to being able to be attacked through the air as well. But I think this comes down to, and I'll talk about it in the keys of the game, Luke, Minnesota's got to try to play ball control.
Yep.
If they're going to limit Purdue and not have them put up 38, 41, 44, 50 points – they can't put up points when they don't have the ball. Now, in that same respect, we'll talk about it, how Minnesota can't keep putting the ball on the ground. But if you're Kirk Ciarrocca, you have to be looking at this game plan and thinking, our defense is in transition. They already suck. Like, if we're going to have a chance to win this game, we got to have these long, sustainable drives that end in points. And like I said, Rondale Moore can't score touchdowns if he's not on the field. So for this Gopher offense, it's not like you're going against one of the best defenses of all time. This is an average, maybe below average, Big Ten defense that's coming into town this weekend. But it's going to be up to this Gopher defense to try to execute that game plan and keeping their defense off the field.
All right, so when we look at this game, it's a 2:30 start. It's on ESPN2. It's going to be chilly. Kickoff time, it'll be about looks like it'll be about 28 degrees going down from there as we go on through the game. It's a 12-point spread between the Gophers and Purdue with Purdue favored, obviously. The over-under, 57.5. So a pretty high-scoring affair, as one might expect.
I'm going for the third straight week here. I'm on a hot streak. I'm going to say 57 points ain't going to be damn near the total what this is going to be in this game. So if you're a betting man, I'm on. I think I've gotten three of these in a row, right?
Yeah.
I'm saying 57, far too low for this game.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've taken the over in all those games. But yeah, I mean, this is going to be a tough one for the Gophers. Like I said, this is probably one of the hottest teams in the Big Ten, if not the country right now. They're a very, very trendy pick as well. Here's a question before we get into the end of this. Do you think, how much longer is Jeff Brohm at Purdue?
I had this conversation today with one of the media members. And my question I posed to him was, who is at their school longer? Jeff Brohm at Purdue or Matt Campbell at Iowa State?
Oh.
Whether it's both of these getting opportunities at bigger, quote, blue chip schools, or maybe the NFL comes calling with some of the potential head coaching changes. And I've heard some NFL steam with both Matt Campbell and Jeff Brohm. No, I think
you've
Jeff
really
Brohm
heard,
is much.
You've heard steam, heard, NFL steam on Jeff Brohm. I've heard the Matt Campbell steam, but not the Jeff Brohm steam.
I was just about to say, whether you believe the Brohm to the NFL steam or not, I think he is much more suited to go to a different collegiate game. I think his offensive style is much more suited to the college game than it is to the NFL game. But I still don't believe come 2020 Jeff Brohm's a
Purdue. How far removed is Jeff Brohm from coaching high school again? It's not that long ago, right?
You would know better than I would. All I know is it's his second year here at Purdue. He came from Western Kentucky, very potent offense there. And he's been able to put up results through 2 years at a Purdue team that hadn't been good probably a decade. So,
yeah.
I will also say this. I mean, we didn't talk about injuries lead off the show here because we got kind of sidetracked by the defensive coordinator news.
And
so.
Deer hunting.
That's always deer hunting. That's the only thing I'm on my mind right now is Gopher football and deer hunting. Anyways, Donnell Green is the big injury watch for this week. Mohamed Ibrahim got knocked out of the game on Saturday. PJ Fleck said he's been practicing since Monday, practice Tuesday, practice Wednesday. He's going to be the bell cow back again on Saturday. But the question is going to be, is Donnell Green going to be out of the concussion protocol or not? He missed last week's game in the concussion protocol. PJ Fleck was 50-50 on the fence if Minnesota's going to be able to get him back. But you talk about trying to figure out ways Minnesota's going to win this game. It ain't going to be with Sam Schluter at left tackle because Minnesota's having to keep in tight ends, having to keep in running backs to help Sam Schluter chip because he struggled at times again last week. Well, if it's Donnell Green out there and he's fully healthy in terms of as much as you can expect an offensive lineman to be at this stage of the November Big Ten football games, just the difference between Donnell Green at left tackle and Sam Schluter at left tackle right now is pretty dramatic based on what I saw last week. So that is going to be the big one to watch is can Donnell Green go on Saturday? The other thing I'll note is Jamal Elijah Teague, Minnesota's 2018, I believe he was a four-star defensive tackle signee. He's played in four games already. And because of the O.J. Smith concussion, which, by the way, still not practicing, and it's been over a month in the concussion protocol, I don't know that O.J. Smith ever plays football again. So because of necessity, Jamal Teague's going to have his redshirt burned on Saturday, and he's likely going to start. Now, I know that's gotten some people's feathers all ruffled up, it is what it is. I mean, injury forced the hand of PJ Fleck, and the drop off between someone like Elijah Teague and Nate Umlor right now, who Minnesota's also redshirting, is dramatic. Elijah, Jamal Teague is ready to go. You know, I don't know that he played particularly well last week, but Minnesota needs him. He's a big body, and he's shown glimpses of being your potential defensive tackle of the future. So just wanted to touch on those two things here real quickly.
Yeah, definitely important. That Jeff Brohm, like recently in high school, I don't know where I got that. I don't know why I thought that. It's not even close to true.
Attaboy.
Yeah. So we should get to your keys of the game before we make a prediction here.
I suppose we should. And the first key, I talked about it already, is you need to figure out a way to slow down DJ Knox and Rondale Moore. I talked about last week you needed to be able to slow down Reggie Corbin. How'd that go? He went for over 200 rushing yards and two scores. This week it's DJ Knox and Rondale Moore because Minnesota's defensive model has been based off this Greg Schiano defense at Ohio State. Well aware, Rob Smith's no longer the defensive coordinator. Joe Rossi is, but I'm not expecting a significant change in scheme in less than a week. It is literally not feasible for that to happen, folks. Are there some little implementations you can make with corrections and changes that Joe Rossi is going to try to do? Absolutely. But to change scheme in less than a week, it's just not plausible. In all reality, it's not Rossi's fault that this Purdue team 3 weeks ago went against the Schiano Ohio State defense and tore them up for 539 total yards, 49 points. And that's with some of the best athletes in the country on that Buckeye defense. I mentioned how running back DJ Knox went for over 100 yards, 8 yards a carry, 3 rushing scores, while playmaker Rondale Moore touched the ball 14 times on offense for 194 yards and 2 scores. Now, my point being, this is not an exact replica, scheme for scheme, verbatim, terminology for terminology of Schiano's defense. It's not what it is, but it is based off a model of that, and knowing that Purdue knew where to exploit the weaknesses in this defensive scheme just 3 weeks ago concerns me immensely. So if the Gophers are going to have a shot, Luke, in this game, they're going to have to limit the big plays from DJ Knox and Rondale Moore. And as we've alluded to on this show too many times over the course of the 2018 fall season, limiting big plays is great in theory, but has been absolutely horrendous in execution. Minnesota's had 31 touchdowns scored against them in Big Ten play, and the average length of those scores is over 34 yards a play. So figuring out how to limit Rondale Moore and DJ Knox has got to be a top priority for Joe Rossi. Number two, offensively, they have to control the clock, sustain drives, and then end in points. You look at what Iowa was able to do last week. They put up a Big Ten season high 36 points on this Boilermaker defense in West Lafayette. So what was their key? Their key was sustaining drives and ending them in points, in points, in points. Iowa had 6 scoring drives last Saturday, averaging over 8 plays in length per score, and that's how you beat Purdue, is if their dynamic offense is off the field and yours is on the field and you're dominating clock and these drives are ending in touchdowns and field goals. That's how you beat Purdue. Now, Minnesota's offense has taken a step forward in run blocking in the last month, and we're going to need to see that kind of dominating front play consistently throughout Saturday afternoon's game. Now, Minnesota may be on RB3, RB4, with Mo Ibrahim somewhat banged up, Bryce Williams getting some carries. Minnesota's offense has to stay on track if they're going to sustain these drives. So you can't get off track. You can't have 2nd and 8, 3rd and 8, 3rd and 5. You can't get to these passing downs where Minnesota struggles. So in truth, Minnesota's offense is going to need to have help from their defense. So they can't get in these negative game scripts so early in games like they have been consistently throughout Big Ten play. So the defense, if they're going to hold at some point during this game, it's got to be early on. This offense can't get down 2 scores or 10, 14 points midway through the second quarter, because running the ball is absolutely crucial to sustaining drives and milking the clock. And it's impossible at that point if they're already in negative game script situations. So offensive coordinator Kirk Shiraka has to keep the chains moving and the points flowing if Minnesota is going to be able to keep pace with this Purdue offense at home at TCF Bank Stadium. And then finally, Luke, maybe the most important one week after week after week here is they have to win the turnover battle. If you're going to win in the Big Ten, regardless of opponent, you have to win the turnover battle. And in Big Ten play, Minnesota is dead last in turnover margin with a -8 in the take give. They have 17 turnovers in 6 Big Ten games on offense and just 9 takeaways defensively. You look at what's troubled this Gopher offensive late, it's the fumble. PJ Fleck, Kirk Shiraka, the entire defense and offensive staff at every Gopher practice I've ever been to in the PJ Fleck tenure preaches the ball is the program. Yet Minnesota's fumbled the ball 8 times in the last 8 quarters. And that's never going to be a recipe for success when you're a double-digit point home underdog. So Minnesota's got to take care of the ball in offense, and then defensively, you know, it helped, Luke. Sources tell me if Minnesota could ever generate pressure from a defensive lineman not named Carter Coughlin, ever, like ever in the final three games, like Carter Coughlin's great. We've sang his praises on this podcast all year. He leads the Big Ten in sacks.
Right.
He's top four in the Big Ten in pressures. But for freak's sake, can someone generate pressure not named Carter Coughlin? So I doubt we're going to see that change in these final three games, because if you haven't changed yet, why would it change in the final three games? So that means Rossi has to be able to shore up this front seven into knowing what their gap responsibilities are. Everybody has to know what their responsibilities are, from the defensive line to the back four to these linebackers. And if they can do that, maybe Joe Rossi can get some different stunts and different blitzes, and he can blitz. You have to get after David Blau and not allow him to pick apart this defense.
All right, so you're going to get there early and get that free hat giveaway that they're going to be giving out at the game, Ryan?
I don't know that media members get this free hat, but you have intrigued me. Is it like an Elmer Fudd hat?
No, it's definitely Blaze Orange. And also on the outside, it has, or you can flip it inside out, and it can be a camo. So for you, the avid outdoorsman, I think it's very versatile for you.
I didn't know about this. Yeah, I'm going to have to see if I can't get some hookups from the media relations staff there. So, I mean, yeah. I'll be there 11:30 noon, and I would imagine, I believe the gates open at 1, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, 10,000 fans. So, all right. So let's get to our predictions. My prediction is quite gloomy for the Gophers. I think that this will be another loss for them. I think that as everyone's aware, big plays are going to be to their demise again. I wish I could say otherwise. I just can't right now. I can't convince myself that they can stop them. Really in any way. I hope I'm wrong, but I think that the Gophers are going to lose. I'll spot Purdue 45-24.
Interesting. So again, over under is 57 right now, which is mind-boggling. Yes. Considering Purdue's defense has given up 20 or more points in four of their last five Big Ten games, and in both of Minnesota's home games this year in the Big Ten, they have scored 31 or more points, and Minnesota in four of their last five games has scored 28 plus. So if you project Minnesota to score somewhere between 28 and 34, which I think is incredibly reasonable for the reasons I just mentioned, and you look at the fact that Minnesota's defense has stopped absolutely no one in Big Ten play, and even if you just median projection it for Purdue at 45 and Minnesota 28, we're talking in the 70s. So that's where this over-under seems to be extremely inefficient to me from the Vegas side of things, and maybe some folks can capitalize. But ultimately, until this Gopher defense can prove they can stop anyone in the Big Ten, I mean, Minnesota's just going to continue to lose ball games because this offense can put up 21-31 points, which they've done in four of the last five games, yet they've only won one of those four games because the defense is an absolute sieve. So I have the final score for that Saturday afternoon game being Purdue 45, Minnesota 31.
Dang, pretty close. I want to thank everyone for listening, per usual. If you enjoy the podcast, please do subscribe and rate on whatever podcasting platform that you use. Again, I want to thank our sponsor, the Goal Line Club. If you're interested in joining and being a part of that group, check them out on goalineclub.org. Again, we want to thank you for listening, and go Gophers.